Well, greetings. Welcome to The Dividing Line. We are back here in the regular old Dividing Line studio that we've been in since 2006. And so first time, Rich says first time in a month since we've been in this studio. That's certainly, I think, the longest we've ever not been in this particular room, at least once during that period of time. Not that we weren't doing our duty. We've been quite diligent, I think, in doing our duty and doing as many programs as we could fit into the traveling schedule. To be honest with you, given the direction I came home from Idaho, I'm not sure how I could have routed myself any better. There just isn't a lot between Boise and Las Vegas other than Reno, and those are desolate stretches. It is very, very easy to understand why people put the aliens out there. And that's where that one, what was that one movie where all the atomic bombs had created all these mutant things that come up out of the earth and eat you and stuff. I could see that. I was worried that if I had a flat and I had to step off of the road, that some creature was going to, because there's nothing else out there, man. There is one huge lake. I don't know what that one, I mean, it's as big as the Sea of Galilee, just about. And it's right near an army base. It's the world's largest ammo depot. That's all I know is that when the zombie apocalypse hits, the smart people are heading there, because if you want ammo, that's where you're gonna find it. Just miles and miles of depots with ammo. Yeah, nowhere to find it. But anyway, so made for long trips at the end of the day. So I'm actually, I didn't tell you this, I'm trying a different program for the next run just to compare them. And this one I can put in how far I want to go, and it draws a circle on the map and stuff like that. And it's called RV Life, I think. And it's got like every RV park on the planet marked. I mean, it's so you know exactly what to do. So anyway, speaking of which, just last night I was talking to a family that visited from Atlanta. Well, actually from outside of Atlanta, but they flew from Atlanta. And they're probably not watching today because they went up to the Grand Canyon, which is much more interesting to look at than me. I can assure you of that. I would much rather be at the Grand Canyon too. But anyway, asked if the father of the family was going to be going to G3. And I discovered only a few days ago that the man behind the controls is going to G3 too. I had no idea. I just figured, we hadn't talked about it, but I just figured this year wasn't going to happen. And so evidently we're going to have a booth and peoples and everything, huh? Wow. So for those of you who were maybe not going to G3 because Rich wasn't going to be there, now you need to go to G3 because Rich will be there. And so, because most people come up to the booth to meet Rich. They're asking for croissant recipes and stuff like that. So,
what? So the Doctrine of Life guys are going to be there.
You know, I'd put this in, but I think it's going to hurt.
Yeah, the Doctrine of Life guys are going to be there. Oh. They're going to be taking care of the booth, and they're going to bring swag.
Oh.
They're going to have stuff for sale and all kinds of other fun stuff. So, and there's even going to be, you know, the backdrop that we put up behind the booth and all that, brand new one.
Oh.
So Josh has already designed it, and it's sent in. So plans within plans.
Well, I had no idea. And so that means I have to make my road trip work because on Friday at G3, I've been graduated out of the morning group. Those are the C level speakers. I've graduated to the B level speakers, which are in the afternoon. And so it's going to be me, Vody, and Paul Washer. That's the three in a row on Friday afternoon. So I'm feeling the pressure now, because when you're followed up by Vody, Balcom, and Paul Washer, you better come up with something. Better swing hard, yeah. Swing away, Merrill. So I'm going to swing away as best I can. So anyway, I'm putting together the trip going out there and coming back. And I've gotten a connection, and I'm hoping this is going to work out. I haven't confirmed this yet, but there is a connection down in the Niceville area of Florida. Because remember, we have a King James only fella down there by the name of Stauffer, who back, I think, in 2006 or so, had launched a few salvos our direction. We found out then that he likes to talk a big talk, but doesn't want to back anything up. He won't debate, won't defend what he says. And so he started doing a whole series on how he forced me to change my book and all the rest of this stuff. And it's just bogus as the day is long. It would never survive cross-examination. It would be another Steve Tassi debate. It really would be. And so I sent emails. I called while on the road. I called the church office and gave him my phone number. Let's arrange a debate. I'll only be 4 hours away. Let's do it. Nothing. Silence. Do not talk to the idolaters. So I'd assume that whole area, since it's not far from Pensacola, is pretty soaked in King James onlyism. And the reality is, if you know anything about argumentation, consistency of argumentation, church history, and Bible translation, you have nothing to fear from King James only folks. Okay, so. I'm hoping that we're going to be able to go down there into that area and do a nice positive presentation on New Testament reliability, because, you know, King James onlyists are only a small percentage of population. So what you want to do is you want to prepare people to really do the work of ministry. And then either as an addendum or even a second evening, do something in King James onlyism and just set the record straight, prepare people to, as best they can, because there's King James onlyism that's based upon preference, there's King James onlyism that's based upon ignorance, and there's cultic King James onlyism. And cultic King James onlyism is ugly. Which reminds me, That's interesting. Strange. My accordance setup is a little confused there for a second. Anyway, let me see if I can pull this up real quick. I apologize. New window here. There was a debate. I want to see if I can find the debate. Tomorrow, it just doesn't want to come up. It's not cooperating. So you know things are bad when you have to actually type YouTube. KGV only debate. Let's see if it comes up. It did. Yay. If you just put in KJV only debate right now on YouTube, the very first debate that pops up, interestingly enough, the second one is mine, and it's the Mount Impassable debate from Revelation TV. It comes up on YouTube from 10 years ago. But if you just put in KJV only debate 1 week ago, this one's posted by Bible Missionary Baptist Church. But there was a debate between a guy named Mitch Canup or Canup, Canup. Sorry, I'd never heard of him before. Never heard of him before. I don't really follow Independent Fundamentalist Baptist King James only guys around. He was something else, but he debated Nathan Cravat. And I think I have a feeling there's some German somewhere back there, Nathan, because cravat is a tie. Wouldn't be spelled the same way. But anyway, Nathan is one of those guys who's blessed to look like he's about 15 years younger than he is, which is totally unfair, especially for those of us who started losing our hair at 25. I just think that we don't really like you people. But anyway, Nathan went into the lion's den. Okay, this was clearly a extremely biased group. I don't know if he had anybody there on his side. I did hear about two people clapping at the end of his presentations, like, you know, like that. But when Brother Mitch was speaking, it was there is a guy out there, Heyman! It doesn't matter what he said. He could have said, blue suede shoes, Heyman! We laugh, but it's real and it's extremely distracting. And he said so many completely fallacious things, stuff that anyone who knows history realizes he was making it up on the fly, or he was making connections between stuff that, again, any serious historian goes, "Why are you smoking?" And hey, it's just constant. It's hard to listen to because of that. If you find that off-putting, which most of us do, especially because it's mindless. There's no, literally, he could have said anything, and it's just this mindless. It's as bad as the Allahu Akbars in the debates I've done with certain Muslim folks, where the young guys are, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Doesn't matter what the guy said. My pencil is green. Allahu Akbar. You know, it's that kind of mindless agreement going on within a debate situation. Anyways, there were some incredible things said. There were incredible connections made during the course of this debate. And I was driving while listening to it. And I just couldn't finish it. I got about 2.5 hours in and had gotten into the audience questions. And I think it was the communal celebration of ignorance that just eventually you just go, oh, I've got to do something else. It's a black hole of rationality. But so I've asked Brother Nathan to join us tomorrow. I want to talk to the man who went into the lion's den. Talk to the man who can get King James only people to actually debate him, which I seemingly can't since about 10 years ago. I think about the last debate was that one in London. And after that, it's sort of like, yeah, no, we didn't get your email. You called us? No, really? We've been having problems with our email. Must be our spam filter. Right. Okay. So tomorrow on the program at 5 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time, the man who kept his cool in the midst of all the habit stuff is going to join us, and we'll find out how do you keep your cool in the midst of when your opponent has just turned history on its head. And he did say that. I appreciate it. Nathan just came straight out and says, some of the stuff that Brother Mitch says is just so far from the truth, it's truly concerning. That's one way of putting it. Truly concerning. Very, 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 very much so. Yeah. There you go. I just realized we've been out of this room so long that the calendar is on July. That's true. Yeah, that's wild. So tomorrow, Brother Nathan will be with us to talk about it. If you want to get a feel of the debate, just put in KJV only. Space debate. It'll be the first one that comes up, and you'll be able to listen to portions of that and compare it to the debate I did on Revelation TV, and you'll see a lot of similarities. Let's put it that way, between the two. Okay, so that's tomorrow, and I invite you to be with us at that particular point in time. Before I get into the main topic today, I've already briefly thanked the many people that made it possible for us to do the recent road trip, from which we have learned a great deal of things, many things. Obviously, my confidence has increased greatly. The stress level has gone down a lot. I know I can hook this thing up and I can get it where it needs to go and get it hooked up and get it unhooked up and make it functional. And hey, I made eggs. I actually cooked eggs on the stove. Yeah. And I haven't used the oven yet, but I can't remember the last time I used the oven at home either. So not sure that's really relevant. I let the wife do that. About the only thing I ever use the oven for is making Chex Party Mix. We call it Nuts and Bolts. You remember Nuts and Bolts. My mom would make really good Nuts and Bolts, and Kelly makes really good Nuts and Bolts, and now Summer makes really good Nuts and Bolts. That's sort of how it's supposed to work. You pass it on down the family, and I'm sure that Cadence and Clementine and Janny will be making really good Nuts and Bolts in no time. In fact, knowing Summer, she'll have them doing that this Christmas, I would imagine, and Thanksgiving. It's not that difficult to do, folks, but it's really good. It's extremely fattening. But that's how it works. But I did, like I said, I actually used the burners on the stove, didn't burn the thing down. Yeah, so, and I'm still sitting here waiting for Rich to go, okay, all right, I did expect you to blow it up, but you didn't, so fine. You did good. So that, but he hasn't done that yet. He won't. He's just like, yeah, fine, whatever. Just sort of how it works. But so that's how we're going to G3. Looking forward to that. But so many people made it possible. Thank you very, very much. While I was in Idaho, while I was in Moscow, at the beginning of the conference, there was a men's. The conference got so big that they had to meet in two different places. So you had a presentation, but you had to make the presentation multiple times. And then there's a pre-conference thing for men, because they still know who men are and women are and stuff like that. And I spoke on the man and his work, and Doug Wilson spoke on, I think it was a man and his family. I forget what it was. Anyways, it was good. I enjoyed it. But before we started, we learned a new song. And I noticed that they've posted this song. And let me see if I can... man, Accordance is really having issues today. And it's gone. It died. Let me see if I can. Okay. Yes, I know that. I can only do so much with a computer that's going, I'm not happy. Things aren't working right. I'm going to hope that this is what I need to send it to, because it doesn't say. It doesn't say HDMI. There are no HDMIs listed. So, but there's one plugged in. Let's see if this comes up. This is the song we learned, and the first fellow you see is the guy who taught us to us, I think. I'm pretty sure. I thought this was really well done, and I'll talk about it. Let's see if it works first.
Sanctify the Lord, he said, to the word we go. Let him be your fear, let him be your dread. Bend, break, burn, and blow. To the testimony and law, to the word we go. If they don't speak this word, they have no light at all. Bend, break, burn, and blow.
A stone, a stumbling, and a rock of offense.
To the word we go.
Against this word there is no defense.
Bend, break, burn, and blow.
So I will wait upon the Lord.
To the word we go.
To seek the one who must be adored.
Bend, break, burn, and blow.
If they do not feed on his word.
To the word we go.
They shall hunger and thirst and die unheard.
Bend, break, burn, and blow. To the testimony and law. To the word we go. If they don't speak this word, they have no light at all. Bend, break, burn, and blow.
Yeah, so, That will be stuck in your head for the rest of the day. It's extremely catchy. It's a sea shanty. And you may notice that they were singing it in full harmony, four parts. And I couldn't tell you how many times we practiced it before we actually did it. There you go. It's quite good. Very, very challenging to. It's been a while since I had to be reading those bass notes quite that closely. I did take voice for years, and it's sad as you get older. It just doesn't work the way it used to work anymore. But there you go. Okay. Obviously, I haven't actually seen it, but I've seen Biden talking about it. As was reported today, the Food and Drug Administration demonstrated that it is just as politically corrupt and irrelevant to medical science as the CDC. And that is, without public comment, in a way never done before, at a speed never done before, on a foundation never provided before. The FDA now says, oh, those vaccines, they're great. They're approved. And so now the president's out there saying to all employers, you need to mandate vaccines. And as was pointed out by a medical doctor who knows a billion times more about virology than Joe Biden ever could, we are vaccinating for last year's disease. We're vaccinating for last year's disease. This vaccine was developed when there was no Delta variant. And there was a report out of the UK, PHE report, that indicated that for vaccinated individuals below the age of 50, the current vaccine is about 31 or 37%? I didn't pull it up. It's in the 30s, percent effective. Which means it's 60 to 70% non-effective. We are vaccinating for last year's disease, but forcing it into people anyways, because it has nothing to do with stopping a virus. And we have never, I have challenged people on this. It stops them dead in their tracks, but then they just go on. The Karen cult has them. And I've never had anyone provide a single answer to the following question. Name me a single respiratory virus that has been banished from the human experience through the use of vaccines. Doesn't exist. You can't get rid of respiratory viruses with vaccines. It's not possible. And so that's the goal. As I drive down my roads right here in Phoenix, Arizona, the street signs tell me that I can have my part in getting rid of COVID-19. It's a lie. And the vast majority of the American populace is so ignorant of basic biological facts that CNN has been successful in convincing them that, yes, you can. Okay, name me one other we've done. They can't. And as soon as they start trying to, well, about measles, that's not a respiratory virus. So what you do is you set up an absolutely impossible goal. And that way you keep the war going all the time. Just look at look at the formerly free and beautiful city of Melbourne. I sort of feel like AOC. Because we know that AOC has been getting therapy and stuff because of January 6th, because she was so close to dying, even though she was in a different building and no one ever came closer. But she was so close to dying that she's been getting therapy and stuff like that. Well, what? Yeah, I know that. I know that. But I sort of can now understand where she's at, because I was in Melbourne in December of 2019. Yeah. And I think it was December 2019. It was 2019. It was the last time I was in Australia, was in 2019. I thought it was December, sometime around there. And I got out just in time, because it's now a prison city. It's a did you watch the video of the Australian cops just wailing away on people, choking them out, spraying kids in the eyes with you know, because they were protesting this draconian tyranny that has now descended upon them. I got out just in time, and I'm sorry for you guys. I really am. I really honestly am, because there are great guys down there, but you have succumbed to tyranny utterly and completely. We may all, but some are going to go down with a fight and some are not. And down there, it just doesn't seem like, well, there was William Wallace did put in a, did you see William Wallace show up for the, there's a guy at the Melbourne protests that showed up on horseback, and he's literally riding around screaming about freedom. No, it wasn't Horns Man. He had no horns on, thankfully. He's there. All those people are gone forever. We literally have political prisoners in the United States that, because you offended the left, you are in solitary confinement and you will never see the light of day again. It's astonishing. It really, really is. We are there. We've got Pravda going, the whole nine yards. It's just they just got to pick us off one by one to get that thing working. So, anyways, the FDA approving these things that in any other era of our experience would have taken minimally, and given the experimental nature and the Veris reports, the confirmed deaths of pericarditis, spontaneous abortions, et cetera, would have been a minimal 7, probably 10-year process. And here it is, what, they started in December, I think? Less than a year. And here we are, which to me, as a rational person, going, give me the safety data, show me the facts. They decide they're not going to have that part of the discussion anymore. The public doesn't get to ask questions. The public doesn't get to express their concerns. It's just, nope, we've decided it's good. It's fine. Let's go. And you know why that is. They can't answer those questions. They know that. They know it. And so there you go. So the FDA today proved itself to be just as much of the shill of the left as the CDC. I would sit here and say, change my mind, but what I'd like is, show me facts. And you can't. You can't, you won't. You're not allowed to have that give and take anymore. And if they knock this video down, just further proof, absolute evidence that they simply can't engage with the stuff. Do you see what's going on in Israel? Did you see the graph? The spike in Israel? Israel's one of the most vaccinated nations on the planet. Like I said, we're vaccinating for last year's disease. And Fauci's even said it. Everybody said it. The next variant after Delta, which for some reason they're calling Lambda, I'm thinking about starting an online petition to require people to actually learn the Greek alphabet before they start using the Greek alphabet. Lambda is not the next letter after Delta. But they may have decided it's the most recognizable or the friendliest. I don't know. Maybe it's because it starts with LGBT. Anyway, the next variant, our vaccines will be irrelevant to it. Irrelevant to it. And so now that you've gotten everybody to actually accept the idea that vaccination is the only way, unlike everything we've ever done in the past, now it's like 2019 and beforehand was the Stone Ages, man. Stone Ages. We don't care what we did back then. We don't care that we treated these things, that we focused upon things that are effective treatments. We have to prevent it, because every case is a terrible thing. Well, again, pure deception, ignorance. If you apply that in any meaningful way to the rest of the family of human diseases, we're done. The only way to deal with cancer and heart disease and tuberculosis and meningitis and leukemia and everything else, I know leukemia is a cancer, is to give all power to the elites. Won't change anything. They don't care if you die, but you'll feel better. And some Christians will tell you you're loving your neighbor in the process. There you go. Knew it was coming. Everybody knew it was coming. There wasn't any question about it. There wasn't any question about it. There was no way the FDA was going to do the right thing and say, actually, we need to stick with what we've done for the past, well, since we were made the FDA, and actually apply. What? Nothing? Okay. It was just Rich was talks to somebody on the phone and gives me this look like, oh. Anyway, so it's that I'm not meaning honestly to, well, and so Samuel Say tweeted an article from the Calgary Herald by John von Slotten or Slotten, pastor up in that area, that let's see, this week our church leadership team decided that when our church opens for live gatherings next month, which tells you where they've been all along, all attendees 12 and older will need to be fully vaccinated. Even though it's temporary measure, there will be temporary measure. Remember temporary measure? Remember what temporary measure used to mean? 3 weeks to flatten the curve, 2 weeks to flatten the curve, whatever. Even though it's temporary measure, there will be online alternatives, and unvaccinated people will still be able to attend with proof of a recent negative COVID test. It still feels wrong. It should. It should, Pastor Van Slotten. It should feel wrong. Now, again, this is a church that's been closed for how long now? I mean, they're not even opening up till next month. That means they've probably been closed for 15, 16 months. They need to be aware of the fact that a lot of churches that have been closed that long, when they reopen, discover that 80% of their people are gone and are never coming back. And to be honest with you, if you've closed your church that long, your church needs to be gone. I have no problem with your church just simply disappearing. If you've been closed since March of last year, then you've abdicated all of your responsibilities to your people, and they've gone elsewhere. And a lot of us churches who never closed are bursting at the seams because we know where your people went. They wanted to hear the word of God preached. They wanted to have the Lord's Supper. They wanted to see baptism. They wanted to have fellowship. And they're members at our church now. That's how it works. That's how it works. So I'm honestly, I look at something like this and I'm like, I'm not surprised. It would not surprise me the least bit for Andy Stanley's church to do something the same. Yeah. Why would that surprise anybody? And if that means fewer and fewer people hearing a watered down, governmentally approved message, no problem. It's okay. But it's when the government comes along and says, that's what you're all going to have to do. And you know, that's what they're going to do. And one of the things that will encourage them to do that is people like this. Well, they're Christians and they think it's just fine. So you're not really representing a Christian position. That's the issue. That's what's going to be hitting us right up the head. Okay, so I need to get in touch with Todd Friel. Really do. Todd, what you doing? What, bro, what you doing? You know I love you. You've always been the wildest, craziest interviewer on the planet. And if I'm going to see you at G3, are you coming to G3, Todd? If you are, I don't care how tall you are. I'm going to cut you down to size. For your own good. You know what's going on. I listened to the now viral Wretched Radio episode that I saw Friday or Saturday. And I listened to the whole thing, and I've now downloaded, because he made reference at one point to another video on YouTube. I've got it, and I'm going to be doing some driving around. We're trying to get some basic warranty work done on the fifth wheel. You know, those things, those four things, you drag them down the road, and you subject them to about 30 earthquakes per trip. And eventually something goes wonky in the process. So I've got some driving around to do. And so I'm going to listen to the other one as well. Because I looked at it briefly when I was converting it to MP3 so I could listen to it. Looked at it briefly. In that one, you did go more into Romans 13, and I want to hear what you have to say, because what you said in what I listened to this morning was woefully insufficient in actually dealing with what you have in Romans 13, what you have in the scriptures on this subject. It just far, far too shallow to explain what's really happening. And so I want to limit my comments to the worst example that you could have given. And it is what the memes were made off of. I didn't make the memes. I learned about it from the meme. I was sent the meme and I said, he didn't say that. And then I was sent the video and the timestamp, and you did say that. And it was... Here, I'll play it for you. I queued it up. So here's what everybody's talking about. And I think we need to talk about it.
We've come to this. I've got to abbreviate and not say the word. You can watch that presentation and noodle through it. It's going to be very important in the days ahead that we understand what the role of government is in our life and how we're supposed to respond to it when it makes really personal, bad decisions. The church historically has basically said, submit to the government, just do what you're told. Now, there are some folks these days that believe in something called the lesser magistrates, that you as a lesser magistrate, you are responsible for making sure the upper magistrates behave well. If they don't, you can deal with them in whatever way you see fit. I do not adhere to that position. I believe that if the government tells me to put pinwheels on the side of my head every time that I go to Publix, I'm going to put pinwheels on the side of my head. Could look like a lot of pastors these days. The point is, I think we submit to our government. But church history tells us more, and this goes back to the subject that I think is so important, and that is the subject of the body. What is...
Okay, so he goes on from there and properly addresses issues regarding the unknown long-term impact in the body. Now, it doesn't go into details. He's obviously read in some of these areas. I'm sure he must be aware of the fact that there are numerous people who have expressed grave concerns about impact on fertility, spontaneous abortion, especially in younger persons, the impact upon people who've already had COVID-19, and the deleterious effect of vaccinating people who already have natural defenses against the virus. And of course, danger of ADE, which more than one person is whispering about right now in regards to Israel, because I mentioned Israel, one of the most vaccinated and analyzed populations in the world, having a virus spike in the summer. Now they're claiming, well, it's amongst the unvaccinated, but the percentage of unvaccinated in Israel's tiny. No, that there are lots of other people saying, no, it's not. It's amongst the vaccinated. But they're being told not to say that because they don't want people to not get the vaccine. So all this stuff going on and the trustworthiness of government numbers, the fact you couldn't trust the Biden regime as far as you could throw it, you know they're professional liars from the start. But the issue that caught everybody's attention was the assertion earlier than this, he had quoted from Peter, he quotes from Romans 13, says these are airtight. Airtight about what? What are they airtight in? And it sounds like the illustration, it was a bad illustration. Because I've used the illustration I came up with. So Doug Wilson came up with an illustration about wearing a blue beanie on alternate Thursdays or something like that. Before he did that, I came up with sticking a pink colored cotton swab up your left nostril for 7 hours and 14 minutes per day would protect you from COVID. Okay, so if Anthony Fauci comes out and says that, are you going to believe that? Are you going to do that? There's not a scintilla of evidence that that's true, but are you going to do that? And for most of us, we're just simply illustrating that what we're being told to do runs against science, against common sense, against everything that we know. But it wasn't so much a submission to the government type thing. So here, Todd says, stick pinwheels on the side of your head and you go to Publix. And if the government says to do it, Romans 13 says, stick pinwheels on the side of your head and go to Publix. And I say that's absolutely absurd. How do you read Romans 13 and come up with that? And I'm concerned that what it represents is not a difference in how to do hermeneutics, historical grammatical interpretation, going to the original language, etc., etc., but is how you are to relate the themes of Scripture. So you can say every soul, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. And I'm not going to go back over what we talked about when I've preached a sermon on this, and I'll try to remember to find the dividing line that we did in the other studio where we walked through this. and talked a little bit about what governing authorities might mean. It's possible that term means authorities that have superior moral character to them. We talked a little bit about the possibility of those meanings. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. So government is established by God. No question about that. The family is established by God. And yet, there are families that break apart. There are families where sin mars that family unit. And where porneia enters in and breaks what was designed by God. And you do not keep that family unit intact when it's been destroyed covenantally. Even Jesus said, except for fornication, porneia. That's a broad category. So why in that would we recognize that there are times when that goes wrong and therefore it needs to be done away with, but not with governments? Governments are always right, always to be subjected to? Well, there's a problem, because the government that's described here, when Paul says, therefore, whoever resists authority is to oppose the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves, he then describes who it is that they've been resisting. Who is it? For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. So, Todd, as soon as it says good behavior and evil, by what standard? By what standard? We literally now live in a day when there is a form of government that was first seen amongst men at the beginning of the last century, had never been seen amongst men before this. There had never been a form of government that was thoroughly atheistic, thoroughly secular. Every government had, in some way, shape, or form, before the beginning of the 20th century, had to make some room for some acknowledgement of a supernatural realm. My talk at the conference last week up in Moscow was on Darwinism. Darwin opened the door for what is now, listen to me, think about this, please, everybody, think about this. Is this true or is this not true? Secular humanism is the greatest and fullest denial of every truth contained in Jesus that mankind has ever created. Think about it a moment. We know, I hope you already know, the myth of neutrality. I hope you already know there's no such thing as a neutral worldview. The government is not neutral. And the government being described here is a government where the rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. That is not true under secular humanism. A secular government is a cause of fear for good behavior, and they encourage evil behavior. Right? Can we agree on that? Some people would say no. Some people say, well, we can't apply theological standards to another kingdom, and that's why the two kingdom stuff needs to be rejected. You can't understand Romans 13, 1 and 2 if you don't recognize that the for application by the Apostle Paul assumes the reality of being able to define good and evil. And for the Apostle Paul, the source of that is found in Christ, in his law. And there can be no question of that. Secular humanism, because it has Darwin, has no creator, has no judgment, has no transcendent meaning. Therefore, there is no law. There is no redemption. There is no resurrection. everything that is good and powerful and beautiful in the gospel of Jesus Christ is fundamentally denied by the secular system. It is the greatest enemy that has ever stood to its feet in the presence of the risen Christ. Now, obviously what that means, for rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you have praise from the same. Therefore, if you have a governing authority that does cause fear for good behavior, that promotes evil, that causes fear of authority for good people, but not for evil people, that by doing good, you receive condemnation from the same. For it is a diakonos, a deacon, a minister of God, eis ta agathon, for the good. Yes, be in submission to such government authorities. And when you face governing authorities that are in opposition to everything that is good, the role of the church is to warn of the judgment that will come upon such governing authorities. But I suppose Todd might say, sure, go ahead, tell them that they're going to be under judgment, but you still got to wear the pinwheels. Not if the pinwheels mean that I am acknowledging that that government is actually good or that it has true authority as the servant of God. It's standing opposed to God. When a government demands that you do things that are fundamentally in opposition to being made in the image of God, things that are absurd, things that are untruthful, things that go against the reality of the created order. It is good for Christian people to stand up and to condemn such absurdities, because any government that continues in that way will not only destroy itself, but those under its authority. So if we want to stand for life, then we must stand for what is true and what causes human flourishing. Now, Todd, you said that church history has told us. Todd, I appreciate the fact you've done programs, church history. You and I did a whole thing on church history, at least in regards to the Bible, remember? But church history says no such thing. It is inappropriate. It is not right to use the phrase church history teaches us in that fashion. There are all sorts of sources that I could point you to. You live in a land that was founded by men who, if they heard you say what you said back in the 1700s, would have slapped you upside the head. To put it mildly, there have been, I mean, to say that church history teaches any kind of singular interpretation of state-church relationship is just to make a mockery out of the complexity of that relationship and how it has gone through so many amazing manifestations down through the years. I mean, you've got to deal with the rise of sacralism. You've got to deal with the nature of feudal Europe and then kings and the Holy Roman Empire. And you'll find all sorts of differences between the reformers on things. And then you've got the whole issue of sacralism amongst the reformers and the inconsistency that led to amongst the reformers. There is no one church history answer to any of this stuff. I mean, come on. I was just stunned when you said that. That's just not true. Anyway, So that was a bad example in a bad situation. Now, you did go on to say that, you know, you very clearly recognize that a person who's convinced that their bodily integrity, their life, their children's future fertility, ability to have children, continue the race, health, development, vitally important, centrally important. And given the reality of the crash of efficacy of these vaccines, I mean, now we're literally getting to the point of saying, well, yeah, vaccinated people will actually carry more virus than unvaccinated people, which make them super spreaders. That was predicted, wasn't it? So vaccinated people can have more virus, but they won't get it quite as bad. Well, 99.97% of people under 70 don't get it bad enough to die. So now with it going down into the 30s in efficacy against the Delta variant, isn't it obvious that there's something else going on here? Are Christians allowed to recognize the global lurch into totalitarianism? You mentioned it, Todd. You said it at the beginning of the program. You see the totalitarianism coming. You see it. Why can't we factor that in? Does Romans 13 literally say Christians should be the last people to stand for life and freedom and liberty against the onslaught of totalitarian secularism? We should just do whatever the totalitarian secularists tell us to do until we have a theological point. Well, there's another one of the problems. What's a theological point? Well, until they tell you to not say that Jesus is Lord, that's when you can finally draw the line. When they tell me that I cannot teach my grandchildren what a boy is and a girl is, they've already told me to deny the gospel to them. Right? You better believe it. You better believe it. Seems to me that the Christian message has a much wider and fuller message to those would-be tyrants in our world than just, well, we're just going to sit over here and let you do what you want in secular affairs, but don't mess with our passing out the four spiritual laws. No, it's much more than that. It's much more than that. So, dude, I'm going to listen to the other thing you did. I want to hear how you deal. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection not only because of wrath. Wrath against what? Against goodness? That's what we're facing right now. But also for conscience's sake. Yeah, exactly. My conscience will not allow me to wear pinwheels to coals. Because that's stupidity. That denies the imago Dei, that it denies the transcendent value of human life. It grants to the government an authority based upon insanity. Not a minister of God for your good. There is that line. Show me how those to whom you're saying I am to be in submission are a minister of God to me for my good. And I almost always, somebody jumps immediately from that. Well, Roman emperors were pretty bad people. This is supposed to be for all people at all times. This is supposed to work in China. This is supposed to work in Brazil. This is even supposed to work in Melbourne, which is tough these days. How is this minister of God for the good? And how do you define ta agathon? How would Paul have defined ta agathon? That's the question. That's the question. So, anyway, love you, Todd. I just think that was a face-plantingly bad attempt. And you said it might be. And I'm just here to tell you, it was. It was. There's a book coming out, Todd, and I'm going to challenge you to read it. In fact, I would challenge you to interview its author. And I would be happy to act as intermediary to set up such an interview. I have a good position. Not only has he been a guest on this program, but some of you may know, I didn't make a big deal out of it here on the program, but I'm very thankful to have been made a fellow of the Ezra Institute just a couple of months ago. And therefore, I have the ear of Dr. Joseph Boot, the head of the Ezra Institute. If you have not seen his magisterial work, The Mission of God, I would highly recommend it to you. I know that you're going to disagree with a lot of it, but it's compellingly written. But he has a new book coming out. And it is The Lord of Kings. It is specifically on this subject. The relationship of Christ's lordship and human government. And unlike The Mission of God, which takes you weeks to read, I'm guessing this one, I have the PDF, I should look at it, but I'm guessing on the basis of how long the recording was, I'm guessing 140 to 150 pages. Awesomely written. John Cooper read it, of Skillet, loved it, wrote a commendation for it, as did I. And I'm going to challenge you, Todd. Have Joe Boot on. I'll bet you anything, Joe would send you the PDF immediately if you wanted to read it. In fact, I'll ask Joe if I can send it to you. Because I think there are some fundamental issues here. And you have a voice. And these are important times. Very, very important times. And the church has much more of a voice and much more of an authority to proclaim Christ's lordship than I think pinwheels on the side of the head really illustrate. So there you go. Went a little bit long. Tomorrow, Brother Nathan's going to be on. We're going to talk about whether you can actually be saved by anything other than the King James Version of the Bible. It came up. Yeah, and one of the most amazing descriptions of Calvinism I've ever heard, too. That was pretty wild. But anyways, so we'll see you next time on The Dividing Line. If there is a dividing line in the future after a program like this, might be the end of all that. Who knows? Lord willing, we'll see you then. God bless.